Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So while they're setting the, getting everything ready, Ruth is a very gifted prophetic psalmist. The Bible says to us that let us greet each other in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And I've never met anybody who can do that literally. You know, I could walk in through the front door of the house and she would welcome me with a song that she just made up in the spirit. And because there's a gift that she carries, a prophetic gift. You know, I don't know if maybe Monday morning she might get released to do a bit of that. Prophesy. She prophesies over people by song, and she just looks at people and God gives them music and she starts to sing over that person music, and that's a gift that I've not seen too many. Maybe Kim Clement and a few others who can just pick music in the realm of the spirit like that. And when we were coming to New Zealand just a couple of a week ago, really feels like I've been here for ages. A week ago, and we were coming into New Zealand, and I remember we had a group of people in our church, some intercessors that are always praying, always interceding. Every time we go out, they will be praying for us, and they'll write down prophetic words that God gives them about where we are going. And on Friday night, on that particular Friday night, because we flew into New Zealand on Saturday, Saturday morning, we had to leave Toowoomba at 2 in the morning, 2 a.m., because we've got an international airport in Toowoomba, but it's not functional yet. nobody's flying. We need to pray those airlines to be flying out of there, but we have to drive 2 hours down to Brisbane to catch the flight, and all the flights to New Zealand are 6:30 and 9 o'clock, I think the latest, but they're not going where we want to go. So the flight we needed to take was at 6:30 in the morning, so we had to leave home at 2 in the morning. And that Friday night I've been preaching our Friday night service, and so I didn't get an opportunity to go through the prophetic words that had been given to us for New Zealand. And so we went home and had 2 hours sleep. And got up at 2 in the morning, really groggy, and put our bags in the car. One of our people from the church drove us down to Brisbane and got on the flight. And while we were flying, I opened up my iPad and I opened up the prophetic words over this land that the intercessors, the prophetic intercessors, have been praying about. And one of those words that God had given them is that there was going to be a new zeal being released over this land. There's a new zeal being released over this land. And that God was getting ready to break us out of the old and break us into the new. Amen? How many of you know God cannot pour new wine in old wineskin? Amen? So what God does, sometimes He withholds the wine until the old wineskin begins to transition and becomes a new wineskin, and then He pours out the new wine. And so I feel in my spirit that some of us in our Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship, both in Australia and in New Zealand, and I believe in so many other countries, we've been going through some renovation. How many of you know we've been going through some spiritual renovation? Amen. You know, we've got a friend of ours who's just bought a house, but it's an old house. They didn't have enough money to buy a new house. So they bought this old house, and they went to Dubai, and they bought all this wonderful furniture from Dubai, brand new curtains and jacuzzi and bathtub and carpet and couches and all these sort of things. And they said something. I remember him saying to me, I said, I'm gonna hold all that stuff in the container until I've renovated the house. I've got to move it from how it looks right now to how it ought to look. Amen. And so He began to renovate the house. He knocked some walls down. He had to pull off the sink and get all the old stuff out and get all the things out of the house and to make room for the new things that he had bought. And so I remember looking at that house and I said, it looked like a bomb just went off in there. But it was for a reason. It was so that God, or rather he would be able to get it into a place whereby he could put the new furniture in there and put the new things in there. And so I feel in my spirit that even as we were coming, flying to New Zealand, that the Lord is saying to us, do not remember, do not consider the things of all, because he's saying, I'm doing a new thing. Amen. In the realm of the spirit, God is saying, I'm about to pour my spirit over Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship and over New Zealand. I believe God is getting ready to pour his anointing and his glory over this nation. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so sometimes we may go through some renovation. We may go through some knocking around and we may go through some things, but it's okay because God is only making room for the new. Amen. Hallelujah. He's making room for the new, because I am seeing this as a ministry that's going to shake this nation. The potential is here. Hallelujah. The potential is here. But the Lord is saying to us that he's getting ready to break us out of our old mindset, out of our, one of the biggest things that hinders us from entering into the things that God wants to do is the things that God's done in the past. Amen. We get to a place whereby we can get to a place whereby we don't understand that he does a new thing. And we can get to a place and we say, God, what are you doing? But we've got to see you do. We need to see God moving. And so I said, Lord, help us to become like people who are going to move by the cloud of the Spirit of God and follow the cloud of God. Whatever God is leading us, whatever God is saying, the different things that he's saying, God, release it. We are hungry. We want to see revival break out in this land. And so, Lord, we are willing to do whatever it takes to see the end time move of God come over the nation of New Zealand, to see the outpouring of the Spirit of God come over this land. So God began to release a song into our heart, a prophetic song, and I would like for us to just stand up. We're going to sing this song and worship the Lord and ask the Lord, break us out of the old, break us into the new for the sake of what you want to do in our lives and through us in getting us ready for what you want to do in this land. Amen. Hallelujah.
Go for it. Let the lion roar. Come on, come on. Let the lion roar. Come on, come on. Let the lion roar. Awaken. Awaken our hearts. Awaken our souls, stir up, O God, a new zeal in us, a passion for your name, a hunger for your fame. Let the lion roar. Awaken, awaken our hearts, awaken our souls, stir up, O God, a new zeal in us, a passion for your name, a hunger for your fame. Let the lion roar. Let the lion roar. Break us out. So break us out of the old. Break us into the new. Let your glory come down on this stir up new zeal in us, set our hearts on fire, let revival rise today, let revival rise today. Roar, roar, come on, come on, let the lion roar. Roar, come on, come on, let the lion roar. our soul. Stir up, oh God, a New Zealand's a passion for your name, and a hunger for your fame. Let the lion roar. Let the lion, let the lion roar. Break us out of the old, break us into the new. Let your glory come down on this land. Stir up New Zealand us, set our hearts on fire. Let revival rise today. Break us out, oh break us out of the old, break us into the new. Let your glory come down on this land, Jesus. Stir up New Zealand us, set our hearts on fire. Let revival rise today. Break us out of the old, break us into the new. Let your glory come down on this land. Stir up New Zealand us, set our hearts on fire. Let revival rise today. Let the lion roar. Now you sing the lion roar. Come on, come on, come on. Roar. Break us out. So break us out of the old. Break us into the new. Let your glory come down on this land. Stir up New Zealand us, set our hearts on fire. Let revival rise today. Let's sing that again. This time I would like you to just put your hand on your heart. Break us out of the old, break us into the new. And let your glory come down on this land. We want you, God. Stir up New Zealand us, set our hearts on fire. Let revival rise today. So break us out of the old, break us into the new. Let your glory come down on the earth. Stir up New Zealand us, set our hearts on fire. Let revival rise today. One more time, break us. So break us out of the old, break us into the new. Let your glory come down on this land, on New Zealand. Stir up New Zealand us, set our hearts on fire. Let revival rise today.
Hallelujah. I love, want us to pray for that new zeal, because that's what I believe God is releasing right now. There's a new zeal that is being released over the land. There's a new hunger that is being released over the land. Father God, we ask you to give us a new zeal. Lord, I pray, Father God, that those who used to be excited about the things of God and I've kind of gotten used to it, Lord, I pray that you'll break us out of those old things, Lord, and bring us into this new zeal, oh God. A new zeal for your presence, a new zeal for your house, a new zeal for your heart, a new zeal for your face, Lord, to seek your face every day. Father, we ask you to pour your spirit upon us, oh Lord Jesus. We pray for hunger, spiritual hunger, Lord Jesus, like never before. Father, I pray that nothing else will satisfy. And I pray for those who become satisfied, Lord Jesus, that they will become hungry again. For the blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So, Father God, we are hungry, and we ask you that you will fill us, O Lord. Fill us, O Lord. And I pray, Father, for a new hunger for your presence, a new hunger for the things of the Spirit, a new hunger for the gifts, a new hunger for signs and wonders, a new hunger to see revival break out in the nation of New Zealand, a new hunger, Lord Jesus, to see the outpouring of the Spirit of God over this place. And Father, we thank you right now for revival begins in our hearts, oh God, that you begin to stir us up, Lord Jesus, that you begin to resuscitate us, Lord Jesus, that you give us mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And just as you breathed upon Adam and he became a living soul, and Jesus, you lined up your disciples and you breathed on them and you said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Lord, breathe upon us, breathe upon us, breathe upon us, oh God, that we may be filled with the life of God. That we may be filled with the life of God. Breathe upon us to the extent that our environment begins to change every time we walk in those environments. Thank you, Lord, that you're filling us up from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet. You're filling us with your heart, with your purpose, with your anointing, with your presence, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I just want to read a passage of scripture as I share a bit of testimony. I know I mentioned yesterday that I'm just going to pick up from where I left off and what God's been doing in Toowoomba. And the reason I want to just share this is to help you get hungry. Amen. To help you get hungry. That's what happens, you know, when you walk past a fish and chips shop. Amen. Even when you did not intend to, you're not hungry and you did not really, you know, you start to get hungry. You start to feel a hunger inside of you just by the smell of the fish and the smell of the chicken and the smell of the chips. Amen. It's kind of like walking past the bakery. Even if you had no intention of buying bread, but you smell that beautiful smell of fresh baked bread, it just makes you feel like you want to have some bread. Amen. So sometimes whenever we share testimonies of what God's doing, that's the aim, is to try and get us to a place whereby we begin to have this urge again to see God move in our lives like he's doing there, to see God do for us like he's doing in another place. And so we're in the infancy of what God's doing in the city of Toowoomba. That's what I can say. It's in the infancy. It's not yet matured. It's not yet got to where it ought to get to, but it's still in the infancy of what God wants to do or what God is doing there. But I just wanted to get one truth across to us here tonight, as we look at this passage of scripture in Mark chapter 11, and this is something that we've been praying about, we've been really spending some time and believing God. If we go to Mark chapter 10, verse 46, Mark chapter 10, verse 46, hallelujah, hallelujah. It says, now they came to Jericho, Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I might receive my sight. Rabboni, that I might receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. A while back, I remember preaching a message to our church, and I said to our church that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And so you've got to understand that whenever we get on that journey to get to that place whereby God has ordained for us to get to, we have to understand that the opposition that we have to deal with is not natural, but it is in the supernatural. Amen. We don't really fight with flesh and blood. We're not really striving with flesh and blood. We're really fighting and striving with principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. I said to our church, because I took over a church that was in the brink. I became a pastor of a group of about 20 people that were about to shut down. They'd gone through turmoil and everything. And as a last ditch effort, they came to me and they said, could you consider becoming our pastor? They were meeting in a little school hall, and the school was chasing them out of the school. And they said to me, about 15 of them, could you pray about coming and becoming our pastor? Because if you say no, we're just going to have to shut this thing down, close down the church. We're already in a lot of trouble. We're already in big problems because of the previous pastor who'd bought himself a one-way ticket to America after just ruining everything in that particular church. And they were already in debt. He had bought three cars. There was only $3,000 left in the bank. All the payments and everything was already, that meant they were already in the red. They were in a lot of problems. The tax department was already starting to investigate them and that church. And because of some, you know, over quite a few years, their bookwork was never squeaky clean. And so there were fines that they were being levied, and so they came to me and they said to me, we would like for you to pastor this church. Now, nobody in their right mind would say yes to such a thing. Amen. Because that was one of those mongrel churches that pastors that was one of those mongrel churches that pastors don't last for 3 months. You pastor it for 2 months, 3 months, you pull all your hair out, you age 10 years, you go on antidepressants and you quit. That's exactly one of those churches. And Toowoomba was notorious for chewing their pastors and throwing them out and spitting them out. I knew so many pastors within the city who had even better churches, well balanced and more finances, that just got chewed up by the ministry and spat out, and they just could not keep going. And so this church comes to me, and they've been fighting, and there's all sorts of lawsuits and all sorts of things. And they came to me and they said, we would like for you to come and be a pastor here and look after this church. I had appointments with other pastors, and they say to me, turn around and run the other way as fast as possible. Have nothing to do with that church. Because as soon as you become the pastor, you now become the chairman of the board, which means you're liable to all the garbage and the stuff that the other guy did. And the tax guys are going to go after you. The government's going to go after you. All the debt collectors. And because he bought three cars and he put them in the name of the church. The church had to pay weekly for three cars and all just crazy stuff that had happened. And so this pastor said to me, just say bless you and run the other way, and don't have anything to do with them. Let them shut down the church. And so I preached for them about two or three Sundays, and I went and I decided, okay, I'm going to go and pray and ask the Lord whether I should shut this church, what I should do about this. Just write a good letter of refusal and give it to them and tell them thank you, but no thanks. And so I remember I preached that two Sundays for them. The whole church, the people that were there, there was the mainly the worship team and the kids, and there was nobody else in the church, pretty much. There was so much offense. They had gone through a split and just a lot of fight and strife that had been going on. And so I did the second meeting Sunday night for them, and Sunday morning, Sunday night. And I went home, and I remember I typed a very nice letter of refusal, and I thanked them for considering me, and they should probably go and ask somebody else, or shut down the church, close the doors, because that's what they said. You're the last hope. If you don't do this, if you're not interested in this, we'll close the doors and just see what happens. So I said, okay. So I wrote the letter down. I typed the letter in my laptop. I didn't print it out, but I typed it and I left it there. And I remember I finished doing what I was doing. I jumped on my bed. I was going to go to sleep. And as I was just about to fall asleep, suddenly there was a man that was standing on my left side wearing a white robe, a white garment. And I remember he was standing there and he looked at me and he said to me, he said, it is the Lord's will for you to take this church. He said, it is the Lord's will for you to take this church. He said, if you don't take the church, God will still bless you. But if you take the church, it will delight his soul. And he looked at me almost trying to read my impression to see if I bought it or not. And he looked at me and then he said, for they're like a sheep without a shepherd. And then he faded and he vanished. And I remember sitting there, and I know what it's like. Though he slay me, yet shall I praise him. I know what the Bible says, like a sheep being led to the slaughter. I know exactly what that feels like. So I went to sleep that night. I was sweating. I was not sleeping, tossing and turning. And I decided I'm going to go and delete this email. And I'm going to tell them I'm going to become the pastor of the church. And so I went and I said, all right, I'll become the pastor of the church. And I everything in me was fighting and rebelling and wanting to run the other way. But there was something on the inside of me that wanted to please God. There was something inside of me, because he said one word, that if you would take this church, it will please and delight his soul. That's all I heard. And to me, even if it meant the end of me, if I can bring a smile to his face, that's all that matters. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I say to them, I'll take the church. And I'm giving you right now the steps to revival. You want to see God move, these are the steps to revival. And one of the things I'm trying to get across here is that if you're going to see God change this nation, and if you're going to see God change your city and your town, you'll have to learn to navigate the no's, because a yes is just beyond the no. Amen. The first person, whenever you begin to call upon the Lord, like blind Bartimaeus began to call upon the Lord, because he had heard about Jesus, but he had not seen Jesus. He had only heard about what Jesus was doing, and Jesus was passing by, and all the miracles he had done, but he had never seen Jesus. And so he was not satisfied with just hearing. He said, I'm not satisfied with just hearing about the goodness of God. I have got to see the goodness of God. And so this is the keys. What I'm sharing with you tonight are the keys that you need in order to get from the hearing to the seeing. Because we've heard about the goodness of God in this land of the living. But it's time that we begin to see the goodness of God. And sometimes for us to be able to see, go from hearing to seeing, we have to navigate the negativity of our crying out to God and our pursuing after God and our pressing into God in order to get a hold of him in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Because the moment you begin to call upon his name, because there's something about dissatisfaction that makes you want to call upon him. There's something about being dissatisfied with where you are. You get up in the morning and you're saying, God, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. We're going and we're getting into our meetings and we're going to our churches and we're going to our Bible studies. But you come out of that place saying, God, there's got to be more. And we are hearing about what God
God is doing in other places. For a long time, we've been hearing about what God is doing in Africa and what God is doing in America and God is doing in other places. And we're saying, God, when are we going to see you doing what we are hearing about you doing in other places? When are we going to see it here in this place? Hallelujah. And so you've got to understand, for us to move from hearing to seeing, we have to navigate a lot of negativity. And you've got to understand that the negativity is not in the realm of the natural, it's in the realm of the spirit. So if you're thinking I'm going to talk about people, I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about spiritual realms, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our battle is against principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness of this world. Amen. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, whenever you wrestle with people, you hinder yourself from actually being able to build anything. Amen. I said to our church, we should never ever have to pick up the sword and cut each other down ever, because the moment we pick up the sword to cut each other down, we disqualify ourselves from being able to build God a house. The Bible says that David, when he was being chased by Saul, King Saul, he went to the Lord's house and he asked for some bread to eat because he was hungry. But then after he asked for bread to eat, he made a mistake. He also asked for a sword. He asked for Goliath's sword. And the Bible says the priest came and gave him Goliath's sword. And so throughout his life, he cut a bloody trail throughout the scripture until the very end of his life. He came to God and he said, God, let me build you a house. And God comes to him and he says to David, King David, you cannot build me a house because you've got too much blood in your hands. Got too much blood in your hands. Because a lot of us as believers, we have taken up the sword of the enemy, the sword of Goliath, and we began to fight against people. And because we don't understand that the fight is not against people, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world. It is impossible to build when you're in a season of warfare. Look at America. It's in decline right now because they're always continuously involved in conflict after conflict after conflict. And you look at China, it is in surplus and they've got so much money. They can lend money to any country in the world because they are not involved in any conflict. So whenever you're involved in a season of conflict, it becomes impossible to actually build. But if you enter into a season of peace, then it is possible to build. And so God wants us to enter into a season of peace so that we can be able to build that which He wants us to build. Amen. And so we've got to learn to lay down the sword. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, lay down the sword. Because God said to David, David, I'm not going to use you because you got too much blood in your hands. You got too much blood on your hands. You've been cutting and cutting and cutting with the sword of the enemy and you got too much blood in your hands. And so because of the blood that is in your hands, I'm going to have to use your son to build me up a temple that people can come and worship. And so God was speaking to him about that. So you've got to understand the reason why he was disqualified from building anything for God is because the Bible says that our weapons, our warfare, and not what? Carnal. So he should never have gone and asked for Goliath's sword. Every time you have to deal with people, instead of dealing with the spirit behind the people, then you're dealing with the weapons of Goliath, and they will hinder you from being qualified to build anything for God. Lay down the sword. Lay down the sword. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That's why the Bible says Jesus, when he looked at Peter, Peter said to him, I will not let you go and die on the cross. God forbid. I should you come and die on the cross. Jesus looked at him and he said, Satan, get thee behind me. He understood that those words were not coming from Peter. Those words were coming from Satan. And so he did not deal with Peter, but he dealt with the spirit behind Peter. And this is a reason why we are disqualified. Qualifying ourselves from building anything with God, because when Satan speaks through flesh, we deal with flesh instead of dealing with the spirit, then we are using Goliath's sword to deal with that. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That is why when they came to attack Jesus and take him into the arrest him, Peter pulled out his sword and he tried to chop somebody's head off and missed, and God is here. Jesus rebuked him, told him, put that sword back, because whoever lives by the sword will die by the sword. He was trying to save him from the same curse that fell upon David. David had the ability to seek and serve God, but there was a dissatisfaction in him because he was never able to build anything for God because of too much blood in his hands. Too much blood in his hands. And this is a truth that I discovered when I started to pastor this church. I discovered that if I began to deal with the people and deal with the flesh, then I'm going to end up with blood in my hands. And if I don't end up with blood in my hands, I will not be able to build what God wants me to build. Hallelujah. And so I say to this church, I will take the church and I will pastor the church. And so we began to pastor. I began to preach and began to minister. And the church said to me, we cannot pay you, so you'll have to get a job and be able to work. Hallelujah. So I'm pastoring full time, working full time, try and do that. That is not easy. That is extremely difficult because there's no such thing as part-time ministry. It is all full-time. Amen. Hallelujah. There is no such thing as part-time ministry. It is only full-time ministry. Because you see, you don't knock off ministry. You're a minister 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Hallelujah. Amen. We can be part-time this, part-time that. But when it comes to serving God, there's no part-time Christians. There's no part-time, you know, saints. Hallelujah. There's no part-time ministers. We are full-time. So you may be paid for only a part of the time that you're working, but really 24 hours a day, that is what you do. I said to them, okay, that's what I'll do. And I was, phone will ring, and I was looking after a bunch of people that were not easy to look after. Hallelujah. And so things started going from bad to worse for me. Things just started getting messed up. And the people now, as soon as I became pastor, some of the factions that had left the church decided to come back. And these were warring factions. The two groups that tried to split the church initially came back. And so they said, we're going to come back and we want to be part of the church because now we are seeing it beginning to take off and we've got a pastor. So these two groups came together and we've got one side of the church that hates the other side of the church. And it's not even a big church, but we got two groups of people that are already looking for lawyers to sue one another. It was that bad. And so I went before the Lord and I said, God, you've got to do something. And being an African boy, I don't know anything else other than to run into my closet and shut myself in the closet, get down on my knees and start praying. Hallelujah. And so I decided that's exactly what I am going to do. I'm going to go into the closet and I'm going to go and I'm going to pray. I said, I'm going to lock myself. And so myself and she was the only employee of the church being paid, I think, 10 hours a week. Pat, her name's Pat. And so I said to Pat, she's in about 70 right now, in her 70s. I said, Pat's the administrator. She was everything. She was the banker, the one, the janitor, everything. She did everything. I said, Pat, we've got to pray. And Pat is an intercessor. She's one of those praying grandma. You know, they rock back and forth. Reba Bashede just prays and really, really prays. I say, Pat, we've got to pray. We've got to call upon the name of the Lord. And we've got to ask the Lord to move supernaturally here. And so Pat began to pray and we began to wait on God. And I said, I don't know what else we can do. These guys are all, heavy duty. They can kill each other. If I get in between them, they kill me along with each other. And I said, I don't know what they're even fighting about because I was not here. But let's just pray. And so we began to pray. We began to really, really pray. We began to really, really seek God. We began to really press in. And so after about 2 months of doing this, all of a sudden, it just like a switch, just all of a sudden, something changed. And this one group and this other group wanted to come now and be reconciled with one another. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, before I took over this church, I had been praying and I've been saying to the Lord, Lord, I want to be able to touch this city. Give me Toowoomba. Myself and two other churches, we went and we began to fast and pray. We did a 40-50 day prayer session where we were calling upon the name of the Lord for God to open up the heavens over Toowoomba, that we will see the outpouring of the Spirit of God over the churches of Toowoomba, over the ministries in Toowoomba, and over the homes of Toowoomba. We wanted to see God move supernaturally and so powerfully. And so prior to taking this church, we had done a tent crusade in the heart of Toowoomba in a park called Queen's Park. And so we put this big 3,000 seat tent and put sawdust on the ground, good old-fashioned tent crusade. And people came from everywhere to see what God was doing. We had an absolutely awesome 7 days. We had cripples walking, blind eyes seeing. We had all sorts of miracles taking place. And it was right after this particular campaign that this church came and asked me to take over. And so I believe that it was a divine idea, because you have to be married to the land, amen, in order to affect the land. That's what the Bible says. And so I said, Lord, this will be my little way of being married to this land so that I can begin to affect this city. If you read, Graham mentioned that particular passage, Jeremiah 29, which talks about buy yourselves land where you are, be planted in the land, and so that you can be able to begin to transform, pray for the peace of the city. So I said to myself, I'm going to marry this land and I'm going to pastor this church, and so that I can be able to see God take this seed and cause there to be a harvest to change this place. So we prayed, and after 3 months of hell with these guys who are wrestling, and I remember one particular Sunday morning I nearly quit because I was preaching, and one guy came and said he wanted to give a testimony just before I was preaching, actually, and they took the mic and he started giving a testimony, and some other guys came and from the other factions, and they wanted to grab the mic. It became a tussle on a Sunday morning service. It was that bad. And I said, dear Lord, what have you done to me? You know, I said, though you slay me, yet shall I praise you. I know exactly what Job was going through. And so I remember, this is the kind of church I had. That was the church that we're pastoring. And so I say to these guys, after they came together, it just happened 1 week, one group came to me and they broke down. They were crying. They said, oh, please forgive us, Pastor, because of what we've been doing. And we've been just really repenting. And then the other group came and they said, oh, they started repenting. And God started to build bridges. He started building bridges. And this is why I said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are spiritual. Amen? So I could have lined them up and thrown them out of the church, which is a lot of what our pastors do today. If they get out of line, line them up, throw them out. But we don't deal with the flesh. We have to understand that there's spirits behind that. Amen? So I didn't deal with them. I started praying and dealing with this thing that was motivating them. And they both groups came and they started repenting and said, okay, we shall get together. Let us begin to work together. So we went through about 3 months of just a bliss. It was wonderful. The church began to grow. We got to about 100 in a very short time. People, it was just growing and we're having service. And I'm thinking, wow, look at everybody's loving one another and they're hugging each other after the service. And you know, can I get you coffee and can I get you biscuits and you know, come to my son's birthday and I come to your daughter's party, and they all loving one another. You could not have told that this was like Osama bin Laden and George Bush before. They were, hallelujah. God had just reconciled them supernaturally. Amen. At 3 months, that lasted 3 months. God needed to give me a break. Amen. After 3 months, we went through something else. It was different. But after 3 months, all of a sudden, we got our church organized. We have our ushers, and everybody is working. I've got my youth pastor there. He's serving, and all our leaders are all working. After 3 months, my youth pastor comes to me and says, I don't know why, but I just feel worn out, and I'm just tired. I want to quit. And so she gives me the resignation letter, quits. The next day, my associate pastor comes and says, I don't know what it is. I just feel worn out. I need a break. I am just tired. I'm just quitting. I'm done. Just find some other person to be your associate pastor. And I thought, what is going on here? my board members started coming to me. We feel like our time is finished. We're tired. We're worn out. We've had enough. We're quitting. We're done with it. Take over. Find some other people to do it. And then I realized something was wrong when the greeters, the greeters came to me. And they said, Pastor Jimmy, we are quitting too. We are taking 3-4 weeks holiday, so we're going to be gone for a while from the church. We're just taking a while. And I'm thinking, why are you burnt out? Why are you burnt out? I mean, you're a greeter. All you have to do is stand at the door and say, welcome to church, and smile and welcome them to church. What do you mean you're burnt out? And I was having greeters. Now burnt out. Like, we can't do it anymore. It's just too much. Too much. We're going to the Gold Coast, to the beach. And then I thought to myself, this is spiritual. Amen. So I said to our intercessors, let's go and pray. So we started praying for 2 weeks. We really interceded. We prayed. I never sent one ugly letter to any of our leaders and tell them all for quitting of me, because some of us could have done that. And that's why I'm saying, put down the sword. Somebody said, put down the sword. I never wrote them off. I didn't tell them off. I just left those doors open. And I went before the Lord and I began to deal with whatever it was that was making them do this. In within 3 weeks, every one of them, my sister, my youth pastor came and said, I don't know what I was thinking. Can I have my job back? I said, yes, you can have it. My associate pastor said to me, I told you to look for another pastor, but don't do it anymore. I'm willing to do this because I feel that fire. Hallelujah. I feel the zeal to do this again. And I said, okay, fine. And every single one of them came back. And they all said, we are going to stay. We are so excited. It looked like revival was already coming into town. Amen. And I remember thinking to myself, what just happened? 3 weeks, these guys have been behaving like this and quitting and being burnt out. And now they're all excited and back on board. I did not understand what was happening. We went for another 2 months, about 2 months of just peace and bliss. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. And then during that time, about the third month, I think we just went over into the new year. And about February, every morning I would go to sleep, and every morning I would dream of getting into car accidents. I would wake up and they were so vivid, I would literally jump out of bed. And I remember thinking, what is going on? Every week, I would dream 2 dreams or 3 dreams of car wrecks, car accidents. And then I would jump up and I would start to pray and really just bind the spirit of accidents. And this will not happen. And I remember one particular day, driving to an intersection, I just dreamt I was going to have a crash. And I was the first car at the traffic light, just like in my dream. And I knew that if I just went through the green light, I was going to get something was going to happen. And so the light turned green and I did not go. I just stayed there, kind of crept up a little bit, you know. And this vehicle came skidding. And then they reversed and went back because they went through the red light. And it would have hit me if I just driven out without knowing. The Lord showed me and I realized something was happening. There was something that was coming after me. For 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I think it was, nearly every 2-3 days, I would have a dream about an accident. I was getting prophetic words from people. We pray for Pastor. We've seen him getting into an accident. I was having people sending me emails and, I don't know, I saw you getting run over or some crazy prophetic words like that. And I said, God, I don't know what it is. So I went and got our prophetic people and I said, let us pray. And we began to pray and we began to wait on the Lord. And as we were waiting on God and really interceding and really praying, something began to change. All of a sudden, there was a peace that was there. There was this dread that had come upon my heart even to drive. And that dread just left. And I felt like there was a release. And I felt everything was fine. The church was continuing to grow. We got to about 150, 180, 190. We got to about 200 and we moved the church from the school that it was, and we got our first facility where we are right now. We took up a half of a shopping center and we built an auditorium in there that seats about 225 seats and with everything, creche and offices and everything was in there. And we were not even there for 2 months. The first day we went in there, we already too big big for the place. And we just, God just kept on adding and multiplying and adding and multiplying. And so I remember one time, Sunday morning, I'm transitioning the service and I'm just getting ready to take, the worshipers were up on the stage and they were praying and leading in worship. And my worship director nodded to me, gave me a signal to come up and take the mic and move the service to the announcements and offering and then preach the word. And I got up, and as I got up, I saw a guy who had walked into our church, and he was wearing a dark suit. He was wearing a black shirt, a black tie, black pants, and he was really, really dark. He looked like one of the Maori brothers we see around in New Zealand. I mean, he looked like a refrigerator wearing a t-shirt. It was a huge guy. If you can picture a refrigerator wearing a suit or a shirt or a tie and try and put a tie, that's what this guy looked like. He was a big bodybuilder looking guy. And if you can look at me, I'm not exactly that big and tall and, you know, muscular. And so this guy is sitting right at the back, and he's kind of looking at me like, you know, his eyes are all back with the white, just really just looking at me like he wants to get me. And I discerned there was something wrong with him. Hallelujah. That's right. I quickly decided, this guy, something wrong with this guy. You know, and he was just eyeing me like, you know, the Undertaker or something, you know, the demonic, just with his eyes all rolled back. And he was looking at me, and I said to him, you know, brother, I believe God wants to touch you. Could you just come up here in the front? When I said that to him, I saw him try to get up. He was a little bit agitated, fidgety. He started walking, and he got to about the second row, and he just turned like the Incredible Hulk, demonized. He just full-on manifested demons, and he came right up to the front row, and his leg just stuck to the ground like that. And he said, I'm going to kill you. You don't belong. This nation doesn't belong to you. This city doesn't belong to you. It belongs to us. And he was standing there, and he was just growling. And all my ushers and pastors all jumped on him, trying to hold him. And you should have seen them. He was just moved. He did not even flinch one bit. He was just standing there. They were hanging on him, and he was just tossing them. And I looked at him and I said, in the name of Jesus, this nation belongs to the Lord, and you shall come out of him in Jesus' name. And so I didn't have time that morning to start dealing with this demon, and because he looked high level. And so I said, amen. So I said to our pastors and leaders, take him to the youth church, because we got another auditorium next to our main auditorium where we have church. And we said, take them to that youth auditorium and go and cast the demons out of him. So they took him, dragged him to the next auditorium and started casting out demons out of him. And the service went, our services at 9:30, finished about 12. Service finished. And when the service finished in the morning, they were still casting out demons out of him. Come out of him. Come out of him. They're just really going for it. And so I left them there, praise the Lord. And I told them, I said to them, I'm going to go home and rest up because I got to preach tonight, get him free, and we want to hear testimony tonight. Amen. So I left. Hallelujah. You got to learn to disciple and train. Delegate. Somebody said delegate. Glory. You got to delegate. Otherwise, they'll never learn. Amen. And so I delegated that one, and they were there till about 3, from 10 o'clock in the morning till about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the evening. He sweat so much, somebody had to go and get him a new change of clothes, and they were tired, they were worn out, the whole horse, and I showed up, you know, praise the Lord. And I got into the office, and he was sitting there kind of like, you know, not sure where he was at that time. And he said to me, Pastor, kind of under his breath, he looked very worn out and really exhausted. He said, I'd like to share a testimony, but before I share it with the church, can I see you in the office and tell it to you first? And you can tell me whether I can share this testimony or not. And so I said, yes, okay. So we went to my office, and we went to the office, and he was sitting there, and he looked so remorseful at this time. And he looked at me and he said to me, Pastor, you don't know me, but we know you. He said to me, I am a satanic high priest from a coven in a town called Inglewood, about an hour, 2 hours from Toowoomba. He said, I'm a satanic high priest. He said, I've been a satanic high priest of this coven for the last 10 years. He said to me, my powers are so much with this particular thing that he's part of. He said his powers were in such a way that the police have been trying to get him for 10 years because he sold drugs for a living and he grew the drugs. He had them in his house And he said to me, I sold drugs for 10 years, and for 10 years the police could never get me. Because every time the police would plan a raid, the demons would tell me exactly when the police are coming, and I'll hide the drugs and put everything away, and the police would not be able to get the drugs. Or sometimes the demons would blind the police, and the police would walk in the house, search the house, and the drugs were just right there, and they could not see the drugs. Hallelujah. He said such was like the powers that I had. He said one day we were having our coven meeting on a Friday night in the bush. He said we were having our meeting, and he said I was because he used to astro project and all that and do all those sorts of things, and they'll kill animals. I don't know if they killed human beings, but they'll kill animals and drink their blood and all sorts of things. And so he said to me, on one of the Friday nights, in the middle of the night in the bush, they were getting together with their coven and they were getting ready to do what they normally do on a Friday night. And suddenly a big, huge demon appeared and materialized right in front of him. And this demon said to him, there is something that is blocking me from that direction. There is something that is hindering us from operating. Investigate, find out the cause of it and deal with it and stop it. Hallelujah. This is 2 hours away. This is another town, two and a half hours away from Toowoomba. So this demon tells him this. So he says, okay. So he goes in the spirit and he astral projects and he goes up in the realm of the spirit and he begins to look all through the region until he gets in. He looks in the direction of Toowoomba. When he sees the direction of Toowoomba, he said to me, I saw like a pillar of light coming from heaven over the town of Toowoomba. And then he said, this is exactly where the hindrance is coming from. This is why the demons are not able to operate. So he said to me, I came back into my body, and the very next day on Saturday, I got into my car and I drove all the way to the city of Toowoomba to find the cause of this problem. At that time, we had been fasting and praying for 40 days with this church, myself and two other pastors. We'd been fasting and praying for God to move over the city of Toowoomba, for there to be an outpouring of the Spirit of God over Toowoomba. And so on that particular day that he drove into town, we were having the big tent crusade. Hallelujah. So he drove into town and he looked in the spirit and he saw this pillar of light coming over, and he was driving to where it was and he saw it came over Queen's Park. There was an open heaven over Queen's Park because of all the fasting and praying that was going on. He said to me, I knew that whatever was hindering us, even 2.5 hours away, was coming because of whatever was going on in that tent and whoever was in that tent. So he said to himself, I'm going to try and find out who is involved in this tent because we have to deal with these people. And so he looked around, but he said to me, there was angels all around the crusade tent. There was angels, and I called them link angels because they had their hands linked to each other and they were carrying swords of fire. And these angels were looking and eyeing him. And he said, I could not get in near the grounds because of the angels that were around the field. He said, there was more angels than there were people. Hallelujah. And so he drove and he went and he parked his car in a motel and he stayed the night, and then he decided to come back again and investigate, and he found a flyer that we used to advertise the meeting, and they found this flyer with 3 photos and names. Hallelujah. There was Pastor Jimmy's photo there, my name. There was pastor, the second pastor, his name. The third pastor and his name. 3 of us. And he knew that we were the ones who were doing the tent meeting, and we had been praying and fasting for a move of God to break out in the city of Toowoomba that will affect the nation. So he goes all the way back to his headquarters, back 2.5 hours to his coven. And he says to his witches, his friends, he says, these are the three guys who are causing us problems. How many of you know we don't wrestle with flesh and blood? I'm trying to help us understand how to do spiritual warfare. He said to me, we went back and we took your photo and the photo of those two pastors. And then this is what he said to me. He said to me, on this particular month, in your church, did you have a lot of division and fighting? I said, yes, because he picked the exact month when they were jostling and trying to grab the mic off of each other and want to sue each other and all sorts of things. I said, yes, we nearly had a church split. It wasn't much to split, but we nearly had one. And then he said to me, we were responsible for that. He said, we did voodoo and we hexed you and we sent the spirit of division to come and divide your house and to divide those two houses because we found out, this is what he said, we have found out that a house divided against itself cannot stand. Then he listed to me churches that they had divided and destroyed because they were effective in the land in subduing the powers of darkness. Hallelujah. And I knew some of these pastors and I knew some of these churches. He said, these people were causing us problems and we finished them because of the spirit of division. At that same time, I only clicked later. At the same time, we were having the same mess. These other two pastors I did the crusade with, one of them, his second in command, took half his church and divided and split the church. The other one, his second in command, took the church and split the church. Both of them had church splits at the same time, exactly when this guy said that he sent a spirit of division. And he said to me something. He said, the other two pastors, we dealt with them because bitterness and anger got into their heart. And we destroyed the power of the base of their church. And so we finished them. And he said, but you and that woman, you came and you wrestled with us. Hallelujah. Now, for me, I was going into the prayer closet and praying. But for them, they saw me and this woman coming and wrestling with them. Because the Bible says that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness of this world. And this is exact words. He said, you and that woman, you came and you wrestled against us. And he said, you wrestled and wrestled until those angelic assistants that came and you prevailed against us. And he said, we had to recuperate for 3 months. We left you alone. Hallelujah. And then he said to me, after that, we decided another strategy which has wiped out a lot of pastors and a lot of leaders. He said, we send a spirit called the spirit of weariness. He said, we send a demonic power. They called it up. They were looking at that spirit. And they gave that spirit instruction. Go and cause those people to become weary. There's a difference between weariness and tiredness. Tiredness is what you become at the end of the day when you work and you do stuff. You go home, you're tired, you have a sleep, you get up in the morning and you're fresh again. But weariness, you can sleep and get up in the morning and you're still weary. You can go to a conference with the best speakers and walk out of that place feeling still like you want to quit. That is a spiritual condition of weariness. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall run and shall not become weary. The Bible says, do not become weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Weariness is not tiredness. So we're not dealing with physical tiredness. I'm talking about a spiritual condition. He said, we send a spirit of weariness. And he gave me the mouth. He said, on this month, did you have all your leaders come to you to quit? I said, yes. He said to me, we were responsible for that. He said, you went into your closet and you started to fast and you prayed against us because we sent the spirit of weariness. And he said, you wrestled with us until you prevailed. And after you prevailed, he said to me, we went back and then we decided that we are going to kill you with a road accident. That's what they said to me. After 3 months, they waited and then they started working their witchcraft. And they said, we were going to kill you if there was an accident. But he said, every time we looked at our crystal balls and did all those things, we could not really pinpoint where you are because something was crumbling our antenna. Something was crumbling our satellite. We could not pinpoint where you are so we can target you. Somebody said, there is nothing like the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus. That's why the Bible says if you apply the blood of Jesus, the enemy will have to pass over. There is nothing that can penetrate the blood of Jesus. If you don't know what's happening, just plead the blood. If your kids are messing up, just plead the blood. If you're not seeing stuff happening in your business, in your health that you don't even understand, sometimes you just got to plead the blood and they will lose their connection with you because there's nothing like the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. It does more than just wash away your sins. Amen. The Bible says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. There is power in the blood. Amen. And he said, we could not find you. We could not. We tried. We could not get you with a road accident. And then he said, finally, I had to come and kill you physically. And he said, I made a good decision. I'm going to drive all the way to Toowoomba. I will come to your church. And when I come to your church, I will come inside. And when you make an altar call, I'll come to the front. And I'm going to pull out this dagger. He had a dagger, ceremonial dagger that looked like a snake or carved like that. He said, I was going to put this dagger through your chest. And so he said, but I came to your church the first time. And there was angels standing at the door. He said, I could not come in. He said, the second time I tried again. And the next time I came in, because there was always angels around the church. He said, this time there were no angels. So he walked into the church. And that's the Sunday morning I saw him walk in and sit down. But he said, God set me up. Because as soon as I walked into the church, the angels appeared and I saw them all over. Hallelujah. He said they were on the door. And he said, even if I tried to run, I could not get out of the building. He said, there was an angel that was standing behind you. His head was almost through the ceiling. You could only see him through, the ceiling was about here because he was that tall. And he was holding a sword and he was looking at him. So when his eyes were rolling back and I thought he was eyeing me, he said he was not even seeing me. He was talking, he was eyeing this angel that was eyeing him. Hallelujah. And that's why I was thinking that he was actually mad at me. It wasn't me that he wasn't even seeing me because the angel had his eyes on him. He said, this angel had a flaming sword. And he said, whenever the moment I said, gentlemen, come up here, he said his legs started moving. He did not know how his legs started moving. He got up and he said he came to the front and all he could see was the angel with the flaming sword. And all of a sudden he lost consciousness and the demons manifested and I sent them out to go cast the demons out. And this guy said to me, Pastor, let me tell you this. There is something that we have seen in the realm of the spirit. There is a move of God that is coming in the land, and we have been sent by Satan and commissioned by Lucifer to go and thwart this move of God that is coming. He began to tell me what the prophetic words that you've been receiving about a coming move of God. It is sad that the enemy can see it better than some Christians. And he said, we have noticed signs in the heavenlies, just like they noticed when Moses was born and they noticed when Jesus was born. We've noticed signs in the heavenlies of a tremendous imminent move of the Spirit of God, and there's a demonic assignment to target every place that looks like it's potentially usable by God to bring in an end time move of God. Hallelujah. And he said, what God is getting ready to do in Toowoomba will affect the nations. This is what the demons told him that. He said, you've got to abort it and you've got to stop it. You've got to put an end to it. And he said, but you people, you have discovered our secret of warring against us in the spirit. And because in the past we fought with people and people have fought each other in church and not have understood that they never understood that it was a spiritual struggle. and not a physical struggle. And because of that, we have finished the power base of the body of Christ. And so he said to me, because of today, I have to change where I live and move where from where I live, because I cannot go back because I failed on my mission. Hallelujah. He told me that there's a move of the Spirit of God that is about to be released on the land. There's a move of the Spirit of God that is about to be poured out. And he said there's an assignment to destroy. There's an assignment to hinder it. There's an assignment to stop it from taking place. But he said when you people begin to pray and call upon the name of the Lord, and you begin to repent from your sins, and you begin to turn to God, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, God says, I will hear from heaven and I will send the rain. Hallelujah. I will send the rain. And we have to repent because of the bloodshed that is in our hands. Because we've been fighting one another when we should have been fighting with the demonic and the spiritual principalities and powers. Because that's where the issue is. It's not with Paul and Harry and John. The problem is with what's motivating them. So we need to look at Paul, John, and Harry and say to them, get thee behind me, Satan, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, get ready. There's a move of the Spirit of God. I'm going to close here, but I don't have time. Because when we heard about this, we went on a fast and we started praying and we started waiting on God, and God began to move. My wife would tell you this. I played it for the church. I received a phone call from Brisbane from a guy. This was a phone call from the demon. This, whoever rang me was fully demon possessed. And he said, and this was his voice. He said, Jimmy. My phone rang. I was in a conference. I didn't answer because I was in a session. And then when I went to check my messages, there was a voice, Jimmy, like that. And he said, you have pulled down our altars in Toowoomba. And you have removed us from Toowoomba. Satan has said that, and they're telling me exactly what they're going to do to me. They said to me when the blood moons last year, when they had the blood moons, they said, we are going to sacrifice you. That's what he said to me. We're going to sacrifice you. And all this sort of thing. They told me all heap of stuff. So I called the number back. Praise the Lord. Amen. There was a construction worker from Brisbane that answered the phone call. I said to him, what was that message you left on my phone? He said, I didn't leave a message on your phone. And then he said, what time was that message? I said, oh, you rang me at this time. He looked at his phone and then he said, that's probably what happened. He said, I was in Brisbane and I'm a construction worker. This is what he's telling me. I've never talked to him from that day to this day. He says, I'm a construction worker. I finished working. I went, sat down, opened my box to get my smoker out to eat my sandwich. He said, I took my sandwich with one hand and my phone in the other hand and I blacked out. He said, I don't remember anything after that. When he came to, he had rang a number and left. I did not know who he'd rang or whatever, what had happened. And so I waited. I said, all right. They said they're going to sacrifice me on the blood moons, one of those nights. So I kept on going about my business. Everything was good. That day I went to the office, didn't do a single thing different. Amen. I went back home and I didn't tell Ruth. I don't tell Ruth these things. I don't tell a single thing. Hallelujah. She only hears them through it when I preach sometimes to protect her. Amen. Because she's usually in Sunday school anyways, teaching Sunday school. And so that I think it was a Tuesday that they had the blood moons. On Thursday, another phone call comes. Same demonic voice. But this time they're swearing and cursing. And they're saying, who do you think you are? Why would God send Gabriel to protect you? Who are you? All I know is they must have tried to come up to get me, but there was an angel called, and I didn't see Gabriel, I didn't sense him, I didn't feel him, but obviously they encountered him themselves. They said, who are you that God will send an archangel, Gabriel, to protect? Who are you? They were in so for 5 minutes. They called me all sorts of names. Told me that Lucifer said that he's going to deal with me personally. The phone hang up. And I went to say, thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Amen. I'm trying to help you understand how to get revival. Because before blind Bartimaeus can get the attention of Jesus, he had to navigate the negativity. Shut up. Why are you doing this? Keep your mouth shut. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The ability of the church today to experience revival will be determined by our ability to navigate the negativity. Because before you get his attention, you will get the enemy's attention. Hallelujah. When he shouted, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Before he got the attention of Jesus, he got the attention of all those spirits. Because those were not people just telling him, shut your mouth. Why are you speaking? Be quiet. There were spirits behind these people saying these things. Because the enemy will hinder you from being able to move from hearing to seeing. He doesn't want you to see what God can do through you. He is satisfied with you reading about Smith Wigglesworth and reading about John G. Lake and reading about Evans Roberts. He's satisfied with you hearing about what God is doing in other places. But the moment you want to move from hearing to seeing, you will have to navigate through the negativity and the demonic attacks so that you can get his attention. And so the Lord has been releasing the sound of abundance like he did with Elijah. And Elijah said, I hear the sound of abundance. I haven't seen it yet, but I hear it. And the way that he could move from hearing to seeing was climb the mountain of the Lord. And when he got to the top of the mountain, he got down on his knees and he began to fight and pray. And when he looked up, there was a big no. Nothing. Have you ever prayed and prayed until you saw nothing? Have you ever received a prophetic word and you stood on it from 1970 to today and you haven't seen anything happen yet? You will have to navigate that disappointment and that discouragement and pray again. And look. And when you look and somebody else has come through and preached about revival and they've gone and you haven't seen anything break out, go down on your knees and pray again. Because God wants you to navigate the disappointment and the letdown and all the things. And God, I thought I was healed and now it's come back on me. And Lord, I thought we were going to move, but nothing. But Lord, he wants you to keep on navigating, keep on going down and navigate through the negativity. And don't allow yourself to become despondent. But don't allow yourself to become discouraged. Don't allow yourself to become down and worn out. Navigate through that. And if you can navigate through that, you will look up one day and you'll see the cloud like that of a man's hand. And when you see that, revival is here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So if they put you out, that's okay. Navigate through that. Don't get offended and refuse to go to church and sit at home for 20 years. No, get over it and get back because God has need of you. Navigate through that disappointment. If they disrespect you and they reject you, that's okay. Navigate through that disrespect and that rejection. The Bible says that the stone that the builders rejected shall become a chief cornerstone. Because the qualification for becoming a chief cornerstone is rejection. Navigate through the rejection. Hallelujah. Navigate through it. I'm talking to some Josephs who have ended up in a pit when God prophesied a palace to you. Navigate through the pit and don't allow the pit to become your testimony. Get out of that place and say, God, you can do better than this. You're not a man that you should lie, not a son of man that you should repent. Have you not said it? Will you not do it? Don't get disappointed when Potiphar's wife lies on you and takes your coat from you and you end up in jail. Navigate through the offense and don't get offended and mad and upset and backslide in your heart, because revival is on the other side of the nose that you have to navigate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I came here tonight to try and encourage somebody from giving up. And I'm through with what I had to share here tonight. But I came here to say to somebody in this place, but that there's some people here, you're nearly giving up. You've been believing God for a lot of years. And you've been saying, God, you said you're going to move in this land of the long white cloud. But we haven't seen the cloud as yet. God, do something. But the Lord is saying, keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. The Bible says men ought to pray and never be discouraged. Hallelujah. Keep on keeping on. Navigate through the negativity. When they tell you no, shut your mouth. Why are you screaming? Why are you waiting on God? Why are you having those meetings? Why are you still going? Look at your chapter, 2 members only. Why are you still even have it open? Keep on keeping on. Keep on pressing in. Hallelujah. Keep on moving forward. Even if there's only 2 of you in the chapter, keep on meeting and encourage one another, because one can put a 1,000 to fly, 2 can put 10,000. And if 2 of you shall touch and agree, he is there with you. Hallelujah. He said, keep on keeping on. Don't give up. Don't give him. Don't look at the numbers. Look at what God has already promised and purpose for this nation and for this city. And allow that to be your compass. And allow that to help you to navigate. Do not look at the negativity and all the things that tell you to shut your mouth and stop from pressing in. Keep on pressing in. Hallelujah. Keep on pressing in. The Bible tells us about Simeon. Simeon, God spoke to Simeon and said to Simeon in Luke chapter 2, verse 22. He said, Simeon, you shall not die until you have seen the consolation of Israel. Simeon was an old man. And I can see him with some back problems. I can see him with some glaucoma coming in. I can see him with needing some hip replacement and some knee replacement. I can see him trying to stay alive, because this promise came that I would not die until I've held the consolation of Israel. But you've got to understand that he had to navigate through the back pain and the knee pain and the neck pain. He had to navigate through the deafness and the glaucoma and all the issues. And he had to navigate through that and keep himself alive until the promise is fulfilled. Hallelujah. And some of you are going to have to fight to get your miracle. You're going to have to fight. I know this is not a good preaching for a lot of people, because you want it easy. And this is one of the issues. Shanda Kabase, you've got to learn to fight. Hallelujah. You got to learn to fight, because your miracle is just on the other side. God wants you to be blessed, but you've got to fight your way to your miracle. You've got to fight your way to your breakthrough. You've got to fight your way to your blessing. Nothing will ever come easy, but you've got to fight your way. That's why the Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent shall take it by force. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No man can go to the enemy's house and spoil his goods until he first binds the strong man, then goes and spoils the goods. It's time we deal with the spiritual entities of New Zealand if we're going to see the harvest coming into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now I feel the Lord wants to release an anointing here tonight, because some of us, we are nearly giving up. We're thinking, Lord, we're going backwards. We're going backwards. Full gospel is not what it used to be. We used to be so many, but now we're so few. What are we going to do? What does the future hold? Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep on keeping on. Hallelujah. Because sometimes there's an anointing of reduction before God can really use you. It's called the Gideon anointing. God can use the 10,000. He will reduce you to 300, because he wants you to know that it's not by might, not by power, not by numbers, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And so don't look at what you've lost. Look at what you still have. Don't cry and mourn about who's left. Rejoice about those who are coming. Because of what the Lord is getting ready to do. The Bible says that you shall march as one man. That's what he said to Gideon. The reason why he reduced them to only 300, because there were too many. He just needed a group that can march as one. He wanted a group that can march as one. You shall go up as one. That's what the Bible says. And he reduced them until there was oneness on the inside of them. There was oneness with their heart, oneness in their spirit. They say, God, you've reduced us to the point whereby if we see victory, none of us can ever take the glory. None of us can ever say it's because of our ability or because of our strategy or because of our plans. You've reduced us to a place whereby when you have the victory, you get all the glory. The Lord is speaking to us and he's saying, do not look at the numbers, but look at the bigness of your God. The God of full gospel, businessmen's fellowship, the God of demons, Shikarian, he is still God. He is still God. And the vision has been written down so that those who read it may run. The Bible says the only way we can run is by waiting on the Lord. Because the Bible says they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. And many have run and they've become weary with the vision. They've gotten tired and have dropped by the wayside. The key is not to change things over. The key is to get down before the Lord. And seek his face once again. Say, Lord, do something. Resuscitate us once again. Breathe on us. Cause there to be life where there once was life. I was watching a video earlier today of the great conventions with Demas and Catherine Kuhlman in the 60s and Philip Auditorium. And I said, God, you can do it again. Breathe upon us. Breathe upon us. God is not dead. Hallelujah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still breathing life. And I feel like I have to prophesy to Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. Come forth. So those of us in our hearts who may feel that this thing is dead and it's in the grave. No, it's coming forth. It's coming forth with a testimony. That I was once dead, but now I live. I was blind, but now I see. The power of the testimony is what's going to change this nation for Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I know I've taken a bit of time, but I felt it was necessary. I wonder if anybody here tonight that you're feeling in your heart, if Jesus, you know, I want to make this, and I know we're, my goodness, you can't make altar calls. It's just, we're chock-a-block in here. But I just want you to put up your hand right where you are so that we can pray for you right where you are. But if Jesus came today, if Jesus came today, and you're not sure you're going to make it into the kingdom of God, if you're living your life in such a way that doesn't please God, that makes you, number one, a target. But if you're living your life and you're saying, I would love for God to use me. I would love for God to use my life. I want to give him my whole heart. And I want him to use me. This is a day I want us to rededicate our lives. But if there's any, I know I see a lot of believers here. But if there's anybody that slipped in here today. That today if Jesus came back or if God forbid you die today. You're not sure you're going to make it into heaven. Let me pray for you first. I want you to put up your hand right now. We're just going to pray for you right where you are. You're saying, I want to make sure if I die today, I'm not sure if I'm going to make it to heaven. I just want to have the assurance of salvation. I want you to lift up your hand right now. Lift up your hand. God bless you for that hand. God bless you for that hand. God bless you. Anyone else, just lift those hands up. Just lift those hands up.
Anyone else? You're saying, I would like to make sure that assurance of salvation. I'd love to have that. I thank God for those two hands. I want us to say this prayer together in concert with this that I put up their hands. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save my soul. Cleanse me from all my sin. Write my name in the book of life. Thank you for dying for me. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you're the soon coming King. I believe you rose from the dead. And I believe I am saved. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just welcome them into the house of the Lord. Now, I just want to pray for those who just feel discouraged. You feel like, I don't even know if I've got it in me to continue another 5 years, another 10 years. Been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And sometimes when you wait as long as even Abraham waited, he had a promise from God. We may even try and help him. But every time we try to help God, we end up with Ishmael. That's because we were never meant to try and help him. We were meant to always wait on him. Because he will always come through. I want you to lift up your hand. If you're feeling like you're just discouraged and you just need God to really stir up your vision once again, and you want God to really use you, I want you to stand up on your feet. I'm just going to pray for you right where you are. You're saying, God, I just need more of you. Then we're going to pray for the sick. I know there's a lot of, there's still people out there seated, I can see, and thank God you can come in and stand up along the walls there. Hallelujah. I need to lift up your hands right now before the Lord. We're going to pray for God to just breathe upon you, to breathe upon you and strengthen you. Because some of you, you've been going through spiritual warfare. You've had physical attacks. You've had health issues. You've had marital issues. You've buried people that should have been still been living at this time. You've gone through some spiritual attacks. There are two kinds of people. You know, whenever you're dealing with death especially, there are people that the Lord calls home, and there are people who go home prematurely. Some of you may have people in your life that have gone home prematurely. But we got to pray right now and say, God, if the thief be caught, he will pay back seven times. And we're going to pray for the Spirit of God to come upon us and fill us up with his anointing and strength. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, you're the only one who can reach out and touch each and every single person here. And so, Father, by your Spirit, I ask you right now, in the name of Jesus, to pour your Spirit upon your children once again. Pour your Spirit upon us, O God. And Father, we ask you right now to forgive us and to cleanse us where we have dealt with flesh and blood, when we should have dealt with spiritual realities. We put down the sword of Goliath, because the sword in Ephesians is a spiritual sword that cannot be used in the natural, can only be used spiritually. So we lay down the sword of Goliath, the sword of the enemy, and we shall not use slander or gossip or backbiting against our own brothers, and we shall not fight the enemy with his own weapons. And we ask you, Lord, that you may cleanse our hands from all bloodshed. Purify our hands from all bloodshed. And I thank you, God, that you bring us to a place that we can build for you like Solomon. And I thank you, Father God, right now, that your Spirit comes upon your people right now in Jesus' mighty name. Let your grace come and rest upon your people. Let your power come and rest upon your people right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now lift up your hands, because I feel the glory of God is about to fall in this place. Make sure there's a chair behind you. Make sure there's a chair behind you. Because the power of God is beginning to fall right now, all through this place, in the name of Jesus. I see strength coming, strength coming, strength coming.
strength coming in the name of Jesus. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall upon the people of God right now. Let the anointing begin to fall upon them. Let the anointing begin to fall upon them. Let the grace of God begin to fall upon them. Watch them. Just catch them. Catch them. People are going out under the power of the Holy Ghost all over the building. In the name of Jesus, the Spirit of God is moving from my right to my left. Receive it right now. Receive it right now. Receive it right now. Receive it right now. The power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost. Receive it right now. Receive it right now. Receive it right now. Receive it right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. My sister with the red, just put your hand on your forehead. Because the Lord right now is releasing divine ideas. Receive in Jesus' mighty name. You and your husband, power of the Holy Ghost through you right now. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. My brother right here, lift up your hands because the hand of God is coming upon you. There's compassion on your heart. God's given you a compassionate heart. A compassionate heart. Thank you, Jesus, because compassion is the foundation of a healing ministry. So I thank you for the healing ministry that is coming upon him. In the mighty name of Jesus, let the power of the Holy Ghost rest upon him. Receive it right now in the name of Jesus. Receive it right now in the name of Jesus. Receive it right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. My brother, my sister, all three of you, join hands. All three of you on that row. Actually, that whole row with the South African brother there. Join hands. All three, all that row. Just join hands. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Fill them up right now. Fill them up right now. Take a deep breath. Power of the Holy Ghost. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. From the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. Let the anointing right now rest upon them. For signs, wonders, and miracles. 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 I don't know if it's Michael right at the back there. Come up here, Michael. Only got room for one person. Glory to God. You get to be it. Hallelujah. Somebody stand behind Michael. Dear Lord. The new generation, lift up your hands. Shabakodobasete. Power of the Holy Ghost. Shete kebalamasete. Hilamakosete kebashada. Lebakosita ladabako shikamande. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're releasing right now. Thank you, Lord, for what you're releasing right now. Thank you, Lord, for what you're releasing right now. Your Holy Spirit, your power. In Jesus' mighty name. Jason and your wife, I pray right now, let the glory of God rest upon you. Power right now. Receive it, receive it, receive it. Receive it, receive it. New levels in God. New levels, new dimensions. New levels in God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Dandra, come a little bit closer. Come behind Dandra. Make sure you catch both of them. I don't trust you. Power of the Holy Ghost. Let the anointing touch them, Lord. Use them, Lord. Use them, Lord. Use them, Lord. Use them, Lord. Shalabaka sadabaha. Yelamakasate. My Catholic brother, take a few steps forward. Take a deep breath. Power of the Holy Ghost. God, use him in the Catholics. Use him within the Catholic Church in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The anointing fall upon him. Anointing fall upon him. Just lay hands on him, Bill. Oh, just there. Power of the Holy Ghost. There he goes. Watch him. Wow. Watch him. Watch him. Dear Lord. I think that's all we can pray for. Come up here, brother. Let me just join. Hold my hand. Come this way. Whoa, watch him, watch him, watch him. We're going to aim that spot right there, that little bit of carpet space there. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. My brother,
See if you can stand just behind Michael there. Yeah. If you're here with your wife, just yourself, just right there will be good. Yeah. Make sure there's a clear runway right there. Just take a deep breath. Feel him, Lord. Let the power of the Holy Ghost rest upon you right now in the name of Jesus. Receive it right now from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. The Lord's going to begin to use you powerfully, prophetically, in the anointing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's it. Drink it. More, Lord. Receive right now. That lady in the red with the glasses at the back, lift up your hand. Somebody just make sure somebody's standing behind her. Take a deep breath. Take it right now in the name of Jesus. Power of the Holy Spirit all over you right now. The Lord is giving you supernatural weapons. Weapons. Alini, just lay hands on her in Jesus' name. Alini, is that Alini there? That lady there? Oh, that's not Alini. Just, you look like Alini. Yes, that, yeah, I've just baptized her. You're Alini for... Just lay hands. The lady next to the lady in red. The lady next to the lady. That's you. Yeah. Lay hands on her in Jesus' name. Father God, I'm just borrowing your hands. That's all. Father, I thank you. Because I can't get over there. Father, I thank you. Let your anointing just rest upon her. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. There's a strong intercessor anointing that is on you. That God is stirring up right now. There's an intercessor. There's been a concern in your heart. Even for your family. And there's been a cry cry from your heart because you want to see your entire family come to the kingdom of God. I'm talking about extended and all. Father God, I just pray right now that is being put in our spirit. And Lord, as you begin to touch our family, touch the entire neighborhood and the entire street where she's at, in Jesus' mighty name, by the power of the Holy Ghost. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Sooner than later, full gospel businessmen's conventions are going to go back to the stadiums where they're supposed to be. Yeah. Hallelujah. I said sooner than later, it's going to happen. Hallelujah. It's going to happen. Because the place where we are right now has become too small. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. Now, if you're sick in your body, put your hand where you're sick. I'm going to pray for some sick people in Jesus' name. If you're sick in your body, you got pain in your body, whatever may be wrong with you, just put your hand right there. In the name of Jesus. We're going to take a few testimonies for healing. Then we're going to close. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray let your healing wave go through this place. And not just the people who are here, but those who are here standing in the gap for somebody that is not here. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that by your Spirit, Lord, you will touch them and heal them. I command deaf ears to open in the name of Jesus. I command organs that need to be replaced, brand new organs to come in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. I pray for new kidneys and new livers and new hearts. And Father God, I thank you that you're touching people's lungs and healing them from their lung conditions in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that tumors are disappearing. I pray for breast cancers to be healed in Jesus' mighty and holy name. We curse them at their roots in Jesus' name. We command right now deaf ears to begin to open. Open right now in Jesus' name. Hear clearly right now in Jesus' name. We pray for eyes.
eyesight to begin to be improved right now. 20/20 vision. In Jesus' mighty name, we command eyesight be healed right now. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray that pain in the elbows and pain in the back and pain in the spine be healed right now. Pain in the neck be healed right now in the name of Jesus. The power of God is going through people right now, and people are being healed from all sorts of things in Jesus' name. I command knees to be healed right now. I command knees and hips right now to be healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I break migraine. Migraine, be healed from migraine in Jesus' name. We command skin conditions be healed in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing right now. I want you to do something. The Bible says faith without action is dead. Now, we don't have much space except to breathe in and breathe out. That's the only action we can do. Amen. Jesus said, take your mats and go show yourselves to the priests. And others, he told them, go wash your eyes in the pool of Siloam. And he told them to do something. But I want you to do something by faith. It's a simple thing. Just take a deep breath. In Jesus' name, right now. Let that be a faith action to give life to their faith in Jesus' name. Now begin to check yourself. Begin to check yourself. I just had a real strong sense that somebody with a left shoulder, you find the pain's gone. The pain's gone. The pain's gone out of your left shoulder. I don't know who that is, but you had a problem with your left shoulder and something's just happened. Come up here. If you're noticing something's happened to you, I see a hand over there. If God has touched you and healed you of something, come up here and testify what the Lord's doing. You see, you had pain before and the pain's gone. Come up and testify. Come and tell, hallelujah, come and tell us what the Lord's done for you. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. If you had pain in your knees, are you all right? Come up here. Come up here. If you had issues with your knees and your knees are healed, come and share what God's done. Now, if you've been partially healed, you're not 100%, you're 80%, 90%, nearly there, come up here. We'll still lay hands on you. But come and tell us, because God's already evidently started to do something. What happened to you?
I dislocated my shoulder playing rugby.
When was that?
About 3 months ago.
And what's happened just then?
I couldn't lift my shoulder at all.
Wow, hallelujah. He could not lift his shoulder. How far could you get it? You couldn't get it beyond that. Without hurting, he couldn't get it beyond that. Now move it right now. Come on, somebody. Give God praise right now. Hallelujah.
It's still a little bit sore. It's not 100%, but I can move it freely.
The mobility has come. Stretch out your hand. That little bit of tinge that is there. Thank you, Lord. Every bit of that pain leaves right now in Jesus' name. Because God, you love this young man. Right now, pain, go completely. Full mobility. Tissue, tendon damage, every bit of it. Be made whole. Be healed right now in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Just relax. Just relax right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Take a deep breath. Whoo, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now check it again. Just be honest. How's that?
What it was.
Way better than even before. All right, move it again. Move it again. Now, how's that? Is it, what would you say, 90%?
95%.
95%. Stretch out your hands. Now, this is a dislocation, rugby. Now, that would be really nasty. Amen. Father, we thank you for the 95 and we praise you for the other 5. Hallelujah. You see, this is why we don't see miracles increasing, because we complain about what God hasn't done. We say, oh, he's only healed me 20%. No, you thank him for the 20%. You praise him for the other percentage. When you got 5 loaves and 2 fish, you don't lift it up and say, God, what do you expect me to do with these 5 loaves and 2 fish? And I got 5,000 people. No, you give thanks. Thanksgiving leads to multiplication. So if he heals you 20%, say, thank you, Jesus, for that 20%. And he multiplies it like the loaves and the fishes to 100%. And that 5,000, which is the pain that's there, is that it's completely gone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whew. Hallelujah. Move that arm again. Move it again. Move it again. Move it again. Move it again.
How's that? It's going. What'd you say, 90 what now?
98?
99. 99%. Thank you, Lord, for that 99%. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, thank you, Lord, that by the time he gets to his seat, he's 100%. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, well, how old are you? Are you still in school? First year uni. We need some of these guys. Are you a member of FGB? Get him a phone. Come up here. This is what we need. We'll just clear the runway for a second. Jesus, we need more of this kind. So let him be a seed in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for what you're releasing. Thank you, Lord, for what you're pouring out and using mightily in the university to win this new generation that is coming. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, because the master has need of him. So, Father, I thank you that you release an anointing upon him to win many of his generation. The kingdom of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Fill that in. I'll tell you that'll be the best decision you've ever made. See me? I filled it in 10 years ago. Look at me now. Come on. Hallelujah. Brother, what happened to you? Come up here. We still want to hear about it. What happened to your shoulder?
I've had tendon problems for about 12 months, and I've been on painkillers for 6-7 months. And most of the pain has gone just now. Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. Stretch out your hands. We're going to pray for him to a complete total healing in Jesus' name. You know, just when I just touched him, somebody with a right knee. There's somebody with a right knee. God's touching your right knee. If you start moving that knee, you see something's just happened. I see God giving somebody a brand new knee. There's going to be a full mobility with that right knee. Jesus, touch him, Lord. And I thank you for what you've already done. I praise you for what's left over. Be made whole. Let the power of God rest upon you in Jesus' name. And Lord, give him an anointing to get others healed from the same thing that you just healed him of. Now, who's that with the knee? What just happened with your knee?
I tore the meniscus. I tore the meniscus and I've had an operation on it, and it wasn't going terribly well.
Yeah. And what's just happened now?
It's a lot easier since the prayer.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, come on, let's give God praise for that. Now, how much easier is it? Is it 80% better, 90% better? How much better is it?
Pain-wise, probably
80%. 80% better, okay. Stretch out your hands. It's gonna be good, 100%, right? Give me your hand. Stretch out your hands. Say, pain,
pain.
Be gone.
Be gone.
Completely.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. New knee, new knee, new knee. New knee, new knee. Complete new knee. In Jesus' name. There's an anointing for knees. I don't know what it is, but there's an anointing for knees. Just move your knees right now. Those of you that you got knee issues, how's your knee right now?
A whole lot better.
Come on, somebody. Give God praise for that. Now, how long have you had it? It's been like that. Did you say 6 months?
I had a problem with my knee for probably 2 or 3 years.
2 or 3 years, yeah?
I definitely tore the meniscus in January.
Wow, praise the Lord. Well, we're going to believe God. You can head back to your seat. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, check yourself. Anybody else? I know we got a whole heap of people healed the first day, but surely there must be some leftovers for the rest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Something's improved. Healing's taking place. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we praise the Lord. We praise the Lord. What's happened?
Amazing.
What happened to your knee?
30 years of degenerating every year, getting a little bit worse, a little bit worse, until my knee is bent out of shape, and it makes me walk like a duck. But it did. Yeah. But it just feels like about 90% better than it was.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, bless Dan right now in Jesus' name. I thank you for that 90%, and I praise you for the other 10%. Do it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Power of the Holy Ghost rests upon you. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Somebody's just getting touched. A lower back pain is just left somebody's. I just had a really funny sensation in my lower back. Somebody's just gotten healed. Your lower back. If you would check your lower back, you'll find that the pain's gone. You'll find the pain's gone. It's eased up. Thank you, Lord, for what you're releasing right now. Thank you for what you're releasing right now. In Jesus' mighty name. We give you thanks and praise. Give you thanks and praise. Give you thanks and praise. Hallelujah. We're going to have an awesome time tomorrow night. Hallelujah. Bill's going to be up here really releasing the power of God tomorrow night. Tomorrow, I don't know, who's you going to give the program for tomorrow and all that's going to be happening. How many of you have been blessed tonight? It's been good. What's happening? Hey? Oh, okay. He wants to clear the runway. Hallelujah. I'll come to you.
Well, I'm going blind. Well, glaucoma or whatever you call it. Yeah. And I asked the Lord for coming here. I knew this. But where to start? I've lost vision, you know, slowly. And as of yet, it's not even 1%, but praise God, He'll do it. Because I believe it. Over here, that's fistula marks for my kidneys, because I dialyze. And you prayed for my kidney. Well, I don't know if my kidneys are healed until the doctor tells me so. Through blood, you know. But in here, it feels a lot better. Amen. They feel, yeah, the on my side feels better.
So, oh, that's good. Amen.
Well, that's just the beginning. Beginning. Yeah. My spine up here. I was at a neurologist the other day, and he wants to operate. Life in here. Because of my weight, they don't want to put me on my stomach in case I crush my heart or whatever. So I went to the Lord. Knowing I was coming here, and knowing this is a healing, because I've been last year. Last year was my first year. Awesome time. Oh, by the way, my mate said to me, we're going to Hastings for this year's one. And I said, praise the Lord. Yeah, I'll go and get healing down there. You know, I'll seek the Lord, and that gives me time to. Then my mate tells me, I'm not going, you take your bass and you're going to play for Jeff. Bro, I can hardly walk, little ain't care of this thing. But we managed. My wife said, I'll take you. Yeah, amen. So we ended up in Hastings. At the moment, I'm also on chemotherapy for myeloma cancer. But praise the Lord, that's in His hands. One thing I know, if you get negative, you get dead. No, it don't take long. So when the enemy comes, and he's been coming, man, I tell you, just as I put my head up, it's like a rabbit, and you know, pew, something else comes up. But God will be God. And brother?
Let's stretch out our hands. Yeah.
Just one other thing. In my church, years and years ago, I saw a full church. But it hasn't come yet. And tonight's word, the Lord's given me confirmation of 18 years praying for that revival. Amen.
It's coming.
Because he's given the key. I didn't have the key, which I have now. You know? I've had lots of preaching on it and around it, but not the direct key on how to achieve. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Stretch out your hands. He needs an overhaul, complete, total, everywhere. Now I'm going to pray that the Lord will help you lose weight supernaturally as well. In Toowoomba, there's this guy named Luke. Luke is morbidly obese. He would come to church and he would just sit on the floor because he couldn't sit on a seat because he was that big. And I said to Luke one day, I was preaching and he was just sitting there and he would get tired and just lie down. Look like an island. And I said to him, Luke, get up and run. He said, what? I said, get up and run. The Spirit of God said, get up and run. The door was open because we've got a door right next to the stage and then there's a door exit there. Luke got up and kind of shuffled. He didn't really run. He shuffled outside and turned around and shuffled away back inside. And when he got back, he was holding on to his pants because he was shrinking, literally in front of us. He began to literally shrink, and he had to hold on to his pants so that they wouldn't go. That's how fast he started shrinking. I've seen God do that two or three times. And even a policeman's wife, she came to see me in the office with her husband, and she just hated herself because she felt she was fat and all those other things. And I just prayed for her. I didn't even pray for her to lose weight. But I prayed for her and I said, I would not be surprised if tomorrow morning your tight jeans don't fit anymore. Next morning she sends me a message. She said, my jeans are not fitting me. There's a big old gap. And these jeans were tight. Overnight she lost weight. How many of you know there's nothing impossible with God? So Father God, to pray for him to be healed of all these things and not pray for this weight to leave is not really dealing with the real issue. And so, Father God, we pray that all these things will be healed and that the weight will come off. Because his knees can't take it anymore. His back can't take it anymore. His spine can't take it anymore. So in Jesus' name, I pray, begin to lose weight now in Jesus' name. Not just that, but I command your neck, your spine, all your kidneys and everything on the inside of you, your knees, your hips, be made whole. Let the power of the Holy Ghost go through your body right now. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. I rebuke the spirit of death. Go off of him. Loose him right now. Cancer, I rebuke you, ugly spirit, in Jesus' name. Loose him and be gone off of him. Loose him right now. Come out of him. Now break every legal ground that you have to stay in his body. I break it in Jesus' name. If he's committed any sin, I thank you the blood of Jesus cleanses him and purifies him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Every demonic spirit that is attacking his body, I rebuke you, spirit of infirmity. Loose him and be gone right now. I thank you, Lord, that you're giving him new knees and a new spine, Lord Jesus. And you're touching his neck and healing him in his neck. I thank you that you've already given him new kidneys, oh God.
Hallelujah.
Release you in the name of Jesus. Now take a deep breath right now. Release, 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 release in Jesus' name. Now just begin to move your neck. Begin to check yourself. Begin to check yourself. Begin to check yourself in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just begin to move your neck around. Move your neck around. Move your neck around. And just be honest. Be honest. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. What else was wrong with you? Your back? If you can move your back. What's happening with your neck? What's happening with your neck?
The neck was causing me all the unstableness. Yeah. You know, it's the spine. It was causing.
How is it right now? How is it feeling?
Well, my neck's loose. I can tell you that. Yeah, it was pretty tight here. You'll always see me going like that, you know. Yeah, it's pretty loose.
It's loosened up. Yeah.
You punched me, I could dodge it.
Yeah. Now check your. What about your back? Did you have any pain in your spine, your back? Not so much, just your neck. That's where the issue was mainly. Yeah.
The issue caused me.
Yeah. You could not balance because of my knees there. Yeah. Now how's your knees? Your knees all right?
Well, they're gonna be stronger because I would have collapsed before.
They're a bit stronger because you could have collapsed before. Now
strong enough to hold me.
Yeah. Now I want you to just hang on to him. Brother. You're gonna walk in Jesus' name. Come on, come on. In Jesus' name. Come on, just walk all the way down there. Hey, look at that. Glory. Glory. Praise the Lord. Yeah. It's stronger. It's strong. Now, the way you're standing there, I didn't even think you could take a step. But you just walked. Praise the Lord. You feel stronger. Praise God. Your knees feel much better. He's going to learn to get balanced now. Come on, give God praise and glory for that. You got something that's happened to you? Hallelujah. Yeah. Come up here. We'll pray for you. Definitely. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How long have you been like this?
Almost paralyzed with a lot of hesitancy. Doctors removed that and I was okay. But a year later, it started getting spastic and weak. And the surgeon said it must be scarring and can't do anything. I've been waiting for a miracle, but nothing has happened. But since last year, it has got worse. And I find it difficult to walk without a stick.
Jesus. Father God, I just thank you that your spine right now is being touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I saw you in Brisbane lift a man who had been on a wheelchair for 12 years, paralyzed from the neck down, and he pushed his own wheelchair, walked and marched around the building. So this is not a big deal. So dear Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. That you give him new connections with his spinal cord, whatever was severed in that surgery, I reconnect them in Jesus' name right now. Now pray, Father, that strength, yes, I thank for balance that is coming in right now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I release, I command paralysis, go off of him. Loose him now in Jesus' name. Loose him right now. I speak strength. Strength, strength, strength in this body and in this spine, in Jesus' name. Now just take a deep breath. Let's release it in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Now pick up your leg, pick up your leg, pick up your leg, pick up your leg, pick up your leg. Now I want you to walk back that way and then you walk back to me. Walk that way and walk back to me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. As he's walking, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, turn around. Yeah. Yeah, you get all wobbly. Yeah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What you're doing is a faith action. It's a faith action. Yeah. You can't climb. You're not supposed to be able to climb. All right.
On my own, I can't climb.
Yeah. And, okay, head. See if you can step down there. And then we're going to get you to climb. All right. Now just watch him really close. All right, climb. Climb again.
Without using the stick,
yeah? Yeah. Don't worry, we got you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There you go. Now, what are you discerning with your legs and that? Have you feeling a bit stronger? How are they feeling?
No, nothing, no change yet.
You don't feel like there's been a change yet? Yeah. All right. Come down there. Step down there. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for that spine where there's been a degeneration, where something's been, just where they did that surgery, back where they did the surgery. Father, we pray right now, let your healing virtue flow right now. Recreate the things that have been cut away, things that have been removed, things that have been destroyed. Father God, whatever is just not working and functioning as it should, I command it to leave now in Jesus' name. Now, thank you, Father God, for the new patch that you're putting in his spine right now. Thank you for the new spinal cord and the new things that you're releasing right now. In Jesus' mighty name. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for what you're releasing right now. Touch him, Lord. Touch him, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're going through his spine. Lord, let there be an operation being done right now by your Spirit in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just rest in that anointing in Jesus' name. Just sit under that anointing in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Lord, strengthen his hips. Thank you, Lord, as you strengthen his hips right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. I want you to walk on it again. Walk on it again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That looks much better than before. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Amen. Now check it out. I'll come pray with you afterwards. I need to talk to you about a few things. Amen. Won't mention them on the mic. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We'll get up here. I'm done. Just looking at the clock before we all turn into a pumpkin.